We all do. Today, my message is entitled, We All Need Hope. But this morning, I wonder if hope is feasible in this world, this place of nuclear proliferation, wars in the Middle East, rockets flying into the Yellow Sea, rockets flying into the Sea of Japan. I think of our cities. Chicago, already this year, 400 murders. 200 murders in Baltimore, somewhere near there. Washington, D.C., about 100 murders. And in fact, I read that last week there were 100 people shot in one day in Chicago. Hard times. Wonder if hope is possible. Still, we can hardly get away from the word hope. Today, people hope for all kinds of things, and people are also hopeless. We hope it'll rain. We hope it won't rain. When our boss comes to us and says, I hope the project will be done in the morning, and you say, I hope that I will get it done in the morning. Hillary hopes she will win this November and get elected. And Donald hopes that he also will win this November and get elected. And there's millions of people who are hoping one way or the other. And some even hope that nobody gets elected. Hope also is a proper name. Former President Bill Clinton, born in Hope, Arkansas. And then I think of the Olympics with the goalie for the United States Olympic team, Hope Solo. Hope is a name. In fact, I will tell you, one of my recently discovered websites is babynamewizard.com. And if you go there, you can see how many people have your name. And I looked up Hope. There's about one in 5,000 people in the United States have the name Hope. But some of you have more popular names. Charles' name is popular. My name used to be popular in the 40s, but now it's down at the bottom of the list. Donald is not too popular today. Hope. Some say at the dawn of the 20th century, hope for the perfectibility of man was a dominant theme. And the early 1900s as a century entered. The hope that we would work together and bring world peace, produce the Hague Convention, the Geneva Convention. They all came into being, and with those conventions, treaties and alliances and friendships between nations. But we had the Russo-Japanese War, and then we had World War I, and then we started all over again with the Peace of Paris and the League of Nations, hoping that there would be world peace. And look what happened. The Holocaust, untold murders, setback after setback. In the past century also, some followed the doctrine of Marxism, communism, and hoped that the creation of the perfect man through education would make a perfect citizen. But unfortunately, sinful human behavior short-circuited that project. Communism and its leaders were responsible for terrible atrocities, the misuse of power, socialist and Marxist regimes such as the Soviet Union and the PRC and even Cuba experienced terrible economic failure. Some of you were born, you were teenagers in the 1950s, and you remember the story of the Great Leap Forward in China. Millions of people were killed. And the Soviet Union, the kulaks were killed in Ukraine. And the gulag, millions of people killed. A terrible, terrible time. Those movements, those ideologies have today lost much of their attraction and their glimmer because they're corrupted. There's not much hope in them, even though they started out fairly hopeful. So what does the Judeo-Christian faith have to say about hope? How do we embrace this idea? It is connected with relationship with the Creator. Christians Their understanding of hope is absolutely tied to the Creator, God. This is how Christians see hope. It's very different from our society and our world that is celebrity-oriented. Hope for wealth, hope for fame, hope for this, hope for that. But when you become very, very old and you can't enjoy all of those good things, then the hope of this world is hopeless. But for a Christian, hope goes beyond this world. It is eternal. For us who are believers, there is a hope that endures. And that hope is always in connection with God, with a relationship with the living God, the Creator of the universe. The attempt to connect hope with the good life and well-being and health and fitness and being cool and having a legacy is always incomplete. Those things are not bad, but it's always incomplete without the component of the Creator of God. You know, Matthew tells us, Jesus himself mentioned this. He said, "What good will it do for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul?" Nothing. The Christian idea of hope absolutely is connected to the words of Jesus. Friends, there are billionaires in the world, influential people, celebrities, preachers that are wealthy, that make money, who've sought to gain the world. There are Marxists and Maoists and capitalist leaders who've exploited their situation and have gotten rich off the poor and have no hope unless they come into an encounter with the living God. They've gained the world, but they will lose the soul. And I think of the words of the psalmist that we've just read. "Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord, hear my voice. And in his word I put my hope." I'm not going to read the entire text, we read it earlier. But it is a powerful text, these two slides, expressing the hope of the writer of the psalm. So this morning, my first point is this. Hope is essential to life. When guilt and grief are everywhere, we need a hope that endures. I think of our personal lives. I think of a church. We need hope individually. The church needs hope collectively. And in Christ, as we surrender ourselves and our commit ourselves to Christ, that hope will bear fruit. Where have you placed your hope personally? Where has CCC placed its hope? That's an important question. Is it on the community? Is it in the pizzazz of living in D.C., although that's not too necessarily good today because of the traffic? What is the hope of our church? I think the hope should be to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. The hope should be to identify with his mission and his purpose in this region. It should be to identify with what God wants to do with a strategically located Chinese church. It should have to do with us individually, how God is calling us to serve him and to walk with him. Hope is connected to this relationship with the living God. Psalm 130 is one of 150 psalms in the Old Testament. Psalms are like prayer poems, and they are intended to be sung. In the Protestant history, John Calvin and Knox and the early Protestantism, the Calvinist Reformation movement, the psalms were sung all the time in the churches. And we do sing some songs. We have some modern choruses that are actually taken from the psalms. But singing the psalms is valuable because it allows us to verbalize an amazing amount of worship and sentiment and emotion to God. Psalms are diverse: lament, sorrow, joy, grief, anger, worshipfulness, and they mean praise. That's what Psalms means. It means praise. Have you called out to God in desperation? Turn to the Psalms. Have you called out to God in thanksgiving and worship? Look and see what the Psalms say. They are a model of how to communicate with God. Verse 5 of Psalm 130, I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in His word I put my hope. In His word is hope. Do you read the word of God? Do you allow it to touch your life during the week? Sometimes in my life, for a week or so, maybe more, I stopped reading the Word. And I notice that when I have to teach a class, a Sunday school class, I am so blessed because I'm reading the Word again. We need the Word of God in our life to bring us hope. I sat in a wonderful Sunday school class this morning, and I was thinking, did that teacher, does she always read the Bible? I don't think so. Maybe. But I know that in her study and preparation, she was blessed through reading the Word. All of us should strive to read the Word all the time. You know, the world we live in is a very cruel teacher, this life. Often the good will suffer. And is there hope? Is there hope in this world with the suffering that I've mentioned? There is. I have a professor that I'm very aware of. I've met. I've talked to her. Her name's Edith. I won't give her last name, but she's at the Billy Graham Center in Wheaton, Illinois. And she's a graduate of Harvard, very early graduate of Harvard as a female minister, PhD. Worked under Harvey Cox. She was just notified that she's in fourth stage pancreatic cancer. Wow, that's tough. But that's something that we experience in our church. Life and death is a part of who we are as Christians. Christian hope goes past the materialism of this world, because it's about a relationship with God who gives life and life eternal. So my friend, though she's struggling, and we know all medicine says that when you're at that stage, there's, you know, you don't have much time in this world unless a miracle takes place. But in my life, I haven't seen a lot of miracles for those people that are at that stage of cancer. It's possible, but mostly people that I've known in my life have died. Hope, in the midst of desperation, gives us reason to get up in the morning. It gives us a direction for our lives when unsure. It gives us something to aspire to as individuals and as communities. People need hope in the midst of struggle. But so do communities, like the Chinese church here. Without hope, we would give up. Without hope, we would give up. I have another person that's influenced me. His name is David Eichmann. He's written several books. He was the Time correspondent in Beijing and Moscow, and he's an older man right now. He wrote a book called Hope, the Heart's Great Quest. And he says, hope has literally breathed health into sick people, life into the dying, and sanity into the mentally ill. You know, you may be dying. You may be on your way out of this existence, but you can still have life, eternal, because of what God has done through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That is the great hope that Christians have. The New Testament is full of examples of hope. Everywhere in the New Testament, you see suffering and yet hope. In the book of Acts, we see suffering of the early church, and yet there's hope. And I was thinking of Eichmann, who wrote his book. And in his book, he mentioned that he was going through struggles. He was almost at a divorce. His mom died. And he put that in the book. And he said, even in my suffering, God was faithful. And after teaching many years and being a leader, he wrote the book, the Jesus in Beijing, very significant book that described what was happening in China with Christianity in the past century. Chinese government didn't like the book, but it was a very significant book talking about the growth of Christianity. He now has multiple sclerosis. Did I say that right? He has MS. Suffering in this life. We can have hope in the midst of suffering. Secondly, hope for the Christian is courageous, not a denial of reality. It is an embrace of reality and the presence of God. Verse 6, I wait for the Lord more than a watchman. More than watchmen wait for the Lord. More than watchmen wait for the Lord. Look at that. In that verse, it's mentioned two times. The watchman is waiting for the morning. Sorry. More than the watchmen wait for the morning. A watchman, you have the picture of this watchman waiting for the morning to come. He's probably tired. He's worked all night. He may even have two jobs. You don't know. Has anyone had two jobs like that before? And then the sun comes up. Is the sun going to come up every day? Yes, it is. Of course, it will always come up. And so that's the picture that the psalmist is trying to get to us, is that God is reliable. God is faithful. No matter what, he will always come through. We wait for him. Now, let me ask you a question for those of you who travel. Get on your plane, flying to San Francisco or Hong Kong. You get in your car and you're driving, climbing the stairs, walking on the side of the street, sitting in a coffee shop. Are you secure? Are you safe? Is that the kind of Christian hope that we're talking about? No. Because that airplane can fall out of the sky and you can die. That car that you get into, you can have an accident. You can be sitting in a coffee shop and a semi-truck can run into the coffee shop and kill you. That kind of hope is not the kind of hope that we're talking about here. That's the kind of hope that the world has. Kind of this feeling that everything's going to go okay. Everything's going to go okay. Well, the hope that a Christian has is based upon Jesus Christ. It is a hope that is very different from the normal happenstances of life. Psalm 62, verse 5 says, find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope, that word hope is tikvah in the Hebrew. My hope comes from him who will never fail us. The Jews have a hymn, a song. It's their national anthem. It's called the HaTikva, and it means hope. And this is an interesting picture of the Bergen-Belsen concentration camp that was liberated by the British in April of 1945. British army came in. There were bodies everywhere. People were dead. And yet there was a British army chaplain, a rabbi, a Jewish chaplain, who pulled together a worship service and spontaneously the inmates, the prisoners in this camp began to sing. Can you turn on that? This is the HaTikva. Our hope is not lost, the hope of 2,000 years. This is the kind of hope that Christians have, that in the midst of suffering, in the midst of terror, there can still be praise and worship to God. Now, this was discovered recently. It just was filed in the archive somewhere. Who works in the archives? Aaron works in the archives. Sometimes things can get filed away and forgot about, but it came to light recently. And so the Jewish nation made this into their national song. It is about hope in the midst of struggle. This is the kind of hope that we have as Christians. We have a hope that is beyond the materialist worldview. Our hope is beyond that. We sing when we're suffering. Some of you have experienced hope in the midst of tragedy. Some of you have experienced hope in difficult circumstances. Some of you have experienced the loss of a job, a spouse, a child, a dream. Some of you here may have escaped from China as a child. And you were able to sing this song. Or song like this, because it's a very biblical concept of worshiping God in the midst of trial. Worshiping God in the midst of trial. 1 Corinthians 15:19, Paul writes, "If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied." And what Paul is trying to say here is this: if all you have is this life, the material, the things, your possessions, your friends, if this is all you have and you don't have God, you are to be pitied. That's what Paul is saying. Because the worldly definition of hope is this feeling of wanting something, expecting something to happen, thinking something good will happen. And there are many worldly expressions of hope that are good and bad. I'm not going to be critical because there's value to some of them. Self-esteem, human potential, man is the center of all, positive attitude, saying positive words, power of the mind. But if that's all you have, if that's all you have, you are lost, because the hope of the gospel is in this relationship with the living God who rose from the dead. This is the biblical kind of hope, a confident expectation based on solid certainty. Hope as an expectation resting on the sure promise of God, hoping in God's word. Thirdly, hope for the Christian is in the person of Jesus. I'm going to read two verses here before I close. Romans 15:13. Paul's writing, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." That's his sentiment for the Roman church. When Paul went to jail, Acts 28:20, he writes, "For this reason I have asked to see you and talk with you. It is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with the chain." So Paul understood that his hope in Christ, even though he was bound in chains, was something that was more valuable than any other kind of vision or hope he could have. Because all the other hopes are transient. They disappear. So this morning I want to ask you, where is your hope? Is your hope in your medical insurance? Which is a good thing to have, by the way. But the medical insurance ends when you die, doesn't it? Is your hope in your wealth accumulated? Maybe you're a celebrity. I don't know if we have any celebrities here. It would be cool to have Michael Jordan here. But if that's your only hope, you have no hope. So this morning, I want you to seriously reflect about hope as a Christian. And over the next few weeks, I want you to decide to draw closer to God and spend time to read the Word of God, to read the Bible. Spend time, effort. Roy was talking about habits. How many days does it take to form a good habit? 21 days. Read the Bible for 21 days. And you might create a good habit. I encourage you to do that today. Let us pray. Lord, I want to thank you for your word. Lord, help us to be people of hope. Lord, not a hope that is transient, but a hope that is joy in the midst of suffering. A hope where we can sing to you no matter what happens in our life. We can rejoice in good times and we can rejoice in bad times. A hope, Lord, that sees our future not limited to the material, but a future that extends into eternity with the Creator of the universe. I pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen.